We've been doing a study, if you would, a series on the house built upon a rock. The house upon a rock. And we've looked at the fact that we as individuals need to build our house upon a rock, and our families need to be built upon a rock, and churches need to be built upon a rock, and countries need to be built upon a rock. If you're going to have any successful structure, it must be built upon a sound foundation. And so we've been looking at those things. And we've talked about how that God's Word is a foundation to build upon, how that Jesus Christ Himself is the foundation. And all these things we've looked at, and all these scriptures that have talked about the rock, have been a reference to God, and how that we can trust God. How that God stands firm and strong, and that He's one that we can lean upon, better yet, that we can build upon. And so we'll continue looking at that. And here in Psalms chapter 89, and in verse 26 it says, "He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." My Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Let's pray as we look here at God the Father as the rock. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this chance to be here. Lord, we're thankful to be able to sing praises to Your name. God, I pray and ask that You would meet with us. Father, I pray that You would just be with us in a special way. Lord, if there's anything here that would hinder the free work of Your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that You would correct that. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to be conformed to the image of Your dear Son. Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts through Your Word. Father, I ask that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, not some mystical, showy thing, but Lord, just Your sweet presence, preaching and teaching, using Your Word. God, I pray and ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. Lord, we know that there are men that love to have preeminence. But Father, we ask that You would have preeminence today. Lord, I pray that my words would point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would build our homes, our families, and that this church would be built upon the rock. And that it would be strong and firm upon Your rock. Lord, we thank You and praise You for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The rock. Building upon the rock. You know, when earthquakes come, things shake. Quake. They move. We've all... Is there anybody that's not been in an earthquake? Anybody not experienced just a little bit of a tremor? Okay, maybe a few of the youngest here have not. I can remember, I think it was about 1983 or something like that, 82, 81, early 80s, that we had an earthquake around here. I can remember being at work one time in the late 80s, and there was an earthquake around here. And things begin to shake and tremble and move. I guess in the worst type of earth shakes, things can even come off their foundation. Or the ground just crack wide open and swallow them up. Earthquakes happen because of cracks or faults or voids in the earth's structure. And so some people build their house upon things that they think are very, very solid, only to find out that way down deep, they're not the right structure. They're not the right area. Oh, and men and science is able to probe now and look and even be able to see below the surface of the earth at some of the things that are going on to determine, is this a good place to build or not? And spiritually, we have even better instruments than science does. We have the Word of God to determine whether or not we are building upon sound things. There are people that say that family should be built on love, joy, and fun. Doesn't that sound good? Why, who could condemn that? Sounds like a happy life. It's just not possible. It's just not possible. You say, oh, well, you can always look at the bright side of things. Well, sometimes looking on the bright side of things is self-deceiving, right? You can look and say, I don't have a problem. There is no problem. Everything's fine, and the problem's staring you right in the face. And you can use the power of positive thinking all you want, and when you open your eyes, it's still there. It's still there. And we must build upon a firm foundation. And here he says, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. One of the foundations that we have not yet mentioned is the foundation of authority. Authority. Make no mistake about it, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is equal with the Father. Would anybody question that this morning? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yet, he said, I come to do the will of the Father. He said, the words that I speak them because the Father gave them to me to speak. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ, even here on earth, even during His ministry, even when He took on the cloak of man, took on the body of man, recognized authority and taught us many good principles concerning the family on authority. Many of these principles are considered to be old-fashioned, antiquated, outdated, unuseful, male chauvinist ideas. You say, oh boy, he's going to get on touchy ground today. No, I'm going to stay safe, firm, on flat rock. Okay? That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. He says, thou art my Father and God and the rock of my salvation. Now listen, let me say this before I say any more about the rock. Rock of my salvation, he says. Now I hope this morning, I hope each one of us can know with a surety, I mean without a shadow of a doubt, that if they were to die this day, that they know where they would spend eternity. I talk to people all the time that cannot know that, do not know that, because they've never received Christ as their Savior. But yet I have many friends and loved ones. And there are many people in this building that would say, I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Many of you know that for sure. When you die, you're going to heaven. It's sure, it's sound, it's solid. It is the rock of my salvation. You say, well, how can I know for sure? We can know for sure when we place our trust on something that is sure. And the one that we put our faith and trust in is not ourselves. Listen, if I were to trust my good works to get me to heaven, I would land in a place called the lake of fire. If I were to have to somehow be good enough to get to heaven, it would be shifty sand. It would be shifting sand. But I have a Savior. I have a Savior. Jesus, the Christ, the Savior. And he came and he took my place on the cross so that I might be saved. And if anybody will put their faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. No shifting sand, solid rock. The rock of my salvation. Now, for Christians and for Christian families and for Bible-believing church, the rock is Christ. It is not willpower. It is not organizational skills. It is not mental capacity that we trust. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that we trust. We trust it. I trust God. I trust His book. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father. God establishes a structure. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. If I were to spend the rest of this message, the rest of this series, Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings teaching on this subject, we would not exhaust this subject in a year's time. So I won't attempt to exhaust it today. But we do need to look here at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you have ever heard of Focus on the Family? Heard of Focus on the Family? Many of you have raised your hands. Focus on the Family has had a ministry now since 1978, if I remember right, focusing on the family. Now, do I agree with everything that they promote and everything they say and everything they do? No. Do I believe in the philosophy of the family needing to have a focus and that focus being on Christ, the rock? Absolutely. Absolutely. My point is to say this, that if a whole ministry can be dedicated to this subject, we won't exhaust it in one reading of the Scriptures or one message. There is much, much more to be learned on this subject. Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, he's talking about believers right now, but he's getting ready to talk about family. And he's going to liken how the church is to be in subjection to Christ, to how the family is to have an hierarchy or have an authority as well. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Simple instruction, not easy words, but Bible. Rock, solid rock. Society doesn't change this rock. Society may try to shake it, but it's a firm foundation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Just like Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, the husband is to be the head of the family and the Savior of the family. He's to be the security for the family. One of the saddest things you will ever see in your life is a family that has no security and no peace. And that the house is upside down. Where the kids make the decisions, or where the kids raise themselves. Sad. Sad situation. And it's not supposed to be that way. Not by a long shot, it's not supposed to be that way. God doesn't mean for it to be that way. It's not God's fault that it is that way. But many homes throughout this country, throughout this area, throughout this village, house is absolutely upside down. Not maybe even because somebody determined that they want it to be that way. They just do not have a solid rock upon which to build a home. They could. God's willing that any should come, any would come to Him. Anyone can build upon this rock. But most don't. Most don't. Especially in this day and age, most don't. It's upside down. Now listen, before you ladies get real... There's a cricket here. Anybody like crickets? Oh, there we go. Got him that time. Before you get real upset with me and say, oh, he just wants women to be under men's thumbs and just tell them what to do and... No. It says, as the church is to Christ. How many of you feel like you're under Christ's thumb today? That He's mashing down on you. That He's trying to make you miserable. He's trying to just get more out of you. He's trying to make it unfair, unbalanced. No. No, that's not what Christ's doing at all. And that's not what the husband is to do at all. And that wouldn't be a healthy family. It wouldn't be a healthy church. And that's not what Christ is saying. But Christ is saying that there should be some structure in the family. And that the husband should provide much of that structure. And that he should provide some security and stability in the home. And God encourages homes to do that. It says in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. You say, well, that ought to be a simple thing. There's a lot of husbands that don't love their wives. You say, well, they just weren't compatible. No, they didn't build upon the rock. Listen, if one of the first things that God tells me about my wife is that I'm to love her, you know what that tells me? There must be great opposition to me loving her in the first place. You say, where do you figure that opposition comes from? Listen, Satan doesn't want me to love my wife. He doesn't want me. He wants me to pick her apart. He wants me to look for every flaw and inadequacy. That's what he wants. Now listen, you think it's possible for a man to have a perfect wife? Not by a long shot. So do you think it's possible that Satan could take just a little thing and put that spotlight on it and then put that magnifying glass under it and say, look at that. Look at that. And you begin to say, I don't think that's the person I married. Why? I didn't see that before. Well, listen, I'm talking about my wife. She could talk a whole lot better about me on this subject, okay? The point is this, is that Christ knows, God knows, the rock knows that if there's going to be any structure in a home, the husband must love his wife. Because if you try to establish this structure without love, then it's bondage. And if you establish this structure with love, it's heavenly bliss. Husbands, love your wives. You say, well, I wouldn't figure on marrying somebody if I didn't love them. Boy, do you have a lot to learn. Love is hard work. Love is hard work in every marriage. Love doesn't just happen. Infatuation happens. But love, deep-rooted love, takes work. Takes work. You say, boy, I don't think I want anything to do with that. Again, do you have a lot to learn? Much to learn. Love. Love. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. How much was that? And gave himself for it.
it says, and gave himself for it.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater husband than this. This is not scripture, but it's scripture. No greater husband than this, than a husband who would sacrifice himself for his family. Sacrifice career. Sacrifice goals, ambitions. Sacrifice whatever would be healthy for the family. That's what Christ did. What did Christ leave because of his love for the church? Heaven. The glory of heaven. Angels bowing and serving him to come to earth. His first smell of earth was a stable. Sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. By the Word. He came, he was the Word incarnate, he was God incarnate, he was living, breathing, walking Scripture, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, he talks about that and then he says, so ought, just like that, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Two are made one flesh, the Bible says. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Listen, begin to love your wife and learn to love your wife and work to love your wife. And it won't be what you set out to do, but you end up helping yourself too, as you see your family flourish and your wife prosper and things have God's blessing upon them. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's given us wonderful examples here of how the family should be established and how the church is to be established. Now let's look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus Christ is the rock. We talked about how that he was the rock that water came out of in the wilderness when the nation of Israel needed water. The Bible talks about him being the chief cornerstone for the Jewish faith. But he's also another kind of rock. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You say, what kind of rock is he? A precious rock, precious gem, a precious stone. A stone of great value, of wonderful worth. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know what he is? He's a stumbling stone to the unbeliever. And he's something that the unbeliever is going to just keep on coming up against and coming up against until at the great white throne of judgment, he comes up against the head of the corner one last time. There'll be no pride. The only emotion that a man will feel at the judgment seat of Christ is humility because of guilt at the great white throne judgment. It's the only emotion. Humility because of guilt. Not, God, you weren't fair, you were unjust, you didn't give me a chance, you misunderstood me. But God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll say, it's too late. It's too late. No mercy. No mercy. Not at the great white throne. You say, why? Because he gives us chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. You hear the word preached and reject it. Maybe you hear something on the radio concerning the gospel and you reject it. A neighbor gives you a word of testimony that's rejected. Maybe a gospel tract is slipped to you. It's rejected. And he becomes the stone which the builders disallowed. But he's a precious stone to the believers. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. He establishes authority. He establishes authority in the home. He establishes authority between the believer and the unbeliever. He establishes authority for the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, one of the things that the Lord has done is establish what he refers to as elders or bishops or pastors. And he says here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, or 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, this is what spiritual leaders are to do, to admonish. When they see something wrong, to admonish. To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This is a structure. This is a structure for the home. This is a structure for the church. This is a structure that God has established. No other rock will build a home, will build a church, than the rock Christ Jesus, and the rock of His Word, and the principles of His Word. They must be built upon. Look down in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. We looked at many of these scriptures a few Sunday evenings ago when we had the ordination of the deacons. Christ has established a rock of authority in the home, in the church, with the believers. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look down in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Listen, everything that this church does, while I'm the pastor here, I will give an account for everything at the judgment seat of Christ. All the good, all the bad, I will give account for. No one else. Well, maybe some others, but I, in particular, will give account for that. That's something God's established. Listen, for my home, the spiritual well-being of my home, I will give an account for. I will. You say, well, your wife? Yes. But primarily, I will. If my children disobey, will they? Yes. But so, I will also give an account. That's why you say, oh, I just give up. You better not. Not for a second. There's too much at stake. Oh, they just won't listen to me. You better not give up. You better not give up on your kids. You better not. Too much at stake. You give an account. You give an account. Not of some stranger. You're going to give an account. Somebody you love. Account for somebody you love. Too much at stake. Too high a principle. Too high a principle. And God says, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now you have a responsibility. I'm going to give an account. So you want me to give an account with joy? Because if I happen to give an account without joy, it's unprofitable for you as well at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's the rock. That's what the Word says. Down in verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Turn to Psalms 94 and verse 22. Psalms 94 and verse 22. We have the rock of authority. Do with it as you will. Many build upon it. Many more reject it. Have thrown it out. Psalms 94 and verse 22. Security. Security. There must be security in the home. Probably the toughest time the family goes through is when they're in between jobs. Or maybe they're having to change houses and are looking for a place to live. Maybe they've got only so much time to get out and find another place. Tough, tough time. Oh, there's tougher times. There's tougher times. There are times where maybe the spouse is going through something, maybe life-threatening, and the security is shaken. Or maybe your parents, maybe they're up in years, and maybe their health's not doing real well, and they've always been there. Always been there. And now they're not going to be there much longer, maybe. Security. Security. Much needed thing. Security. Psalms 94 and verse 22. But the Lord is my defense. You're talking about some security. This isn't social security. This is heavenly security. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. My refuge. You say everything's changing. It's changing too quick. I just feel insecure. Run to the refuge, Jesus Christ. Lean on Him as hard as you want to lean. Hide in Him as much as you want to hide. Trust Him as much as is needed. He's your defense. He's a refuge. A refuge. Listen, a refuge there in that Old Testament. Sometimes a city was a refuge. And if a person had done something and there was question about it, that guy could run to that refuge for protection. Listen, there ain't any doubt about it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned and need a refuge. I've sinned and need a refuge. And He is a sure defense and a ready refuge. But the Lord God is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Listen, family members, they don't want to, but they'll let you down. Some of them have already let you down already. You know what I'm saying is true. And if you don't, you will soon. Family members can let you down. Friends can let you down. Some of the people you trust the most can let you down, but Christ will never let you down. Not ever. Not ever. He'll never let us down. Always be our sure refuge, secure in Him. Secure. Security. Not just in this life, but in the life which is to come. Security. Security. Saved for eternity. Saved for eternity. Eternal life. Listen, that's not some shallow promise. Everlasting life. That's not God just sweetening the pot in a little bit so you'll get your attention. No, that's a promise. That's a signed, sealed, delivered deal. Eternal life. Eternal life. If you haven't received it, then you don't have any security. They say, well, no, I've got a pretty good job, and I've got this future, and I've got this career out in front of me, and you don't have anything. Listen, I got a job that I like to do, but God could take my health just like that, and I couldn't do it. Or just change the economy. You say, could God change the economy? He sure turned Egypt upside down when He got Israel out of there. They had no cattle, they had no sheep. They had frogs all over the place. Even their water turned to blood. You think He can't change circumstances? Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have any security if you don't have Christ. And you don't need any other security if you do have Christ. My advice is to come to the ready defense. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. We'll stop there. Let's pray.